Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
In the studio, it is myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will. Joining me tonight,
it's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
I was here last night doing Free Talk Live and then Beard Talk Live. We had special guests, Greg from New York.
Yeah.
The Interqueen guy on both shows.
He came to dinner tonight.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah. No, he was a hell of a guest on both shows. And so I'm driving home after the thing and I get home and I'm like, man, I lost an hour somewhere. Why is it so freaking late?
Have I been abducted by aliens?
Yeah. Like, you know, I checked my butt and, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing unusual. You know, didn't, you know, no remnants of probes or anything.
Okay. Yep.
And
just a small piece of toilet paper.
So I was like, well, okay. And then I walked by my stove, which mm-hmm. of course is a manual change.
Yep.
It's not.
Yep.
I don't have the smart stove, meaning it's not connected to the internet in any way, shape, or form. And I looked at the clock, and I'm like, oh, it's that day.
Yep.
And so yeah, so both my the clock in my car and the clock on my stove were an hour off. Everything else changes automatically because, well, the phone's on the internet, the computers are on the internet, and, you know, there you go.
I do like the automatic change, though.
I almost kind of like that I have a couple of things that I have to change manually to remind me that I'm doing it.
Yeah, that it even happened, you know?
Yeah, because if it just happens, I might not even notice.
I think that's better for people.
I don't
like that, though. I don't think I like that.
I don't like it for the same reason I don't like people telling other people happy birthday on Facebook.
Because you're not sure
really?
If it's really their birthday.
Well, no, because like before Facebook, somebody had to really care about you and know what your actual birthday was and remember it to like send you a card or call you up or send
something.
You a text or whatever.
I mean,
it meant something. Facebook, it has this automatic thing. And so now people wish other people happy birthday. They don't even know.
I never do that. I never
and
wish
so
people
I
happy
purposely
birthday.
Don't do any birthday things on Facebook at all.
I None. Get the intimacy of it. However, my grandparents had a calendar.
Yeah.
And every time they got the calendar, they would write in all the important birthdays.
Right. Yeah. My grandparents did the same thing.
Yeah, because
right,
they cared. But if they didn't care, like probably the majority of my Facebook friends,
right,
they wouldn't go out of their way
they get
to
the
write
reminder.
Them down at the very
oh,
least.
Oh, hey,
you
it's
know?
Nikki's birthday today. Yeah. Wish her a happy birthday. Yeah. And they go, oh, happy birthday. And everybody,
but doesn't the fact that they say happy birthday like show they care a little bit? Because
well, they care a little bit, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, you can ignore it, but like.
And you do.
It just seems so impersonal now, right? And I prefer a happy birthday wish to be a little more personal than that. That's my preference.
Yeah.
Sure. But I'll get like the Facebook reminder and then I will text them if I have their contact information.
Right? Yeah. If I really care,
I
will text somebody or visit them. But I will rarely, unless it's like my best friend or my mom and I'm creating a whole collage of photos in a separate Facebook post, then I'll wish somebody a happy birthday on Facebook or social media.
Yeah.
But
also, I don't put a whole lot of like, you know, celebratory crap into birthdays, you know,
same
maybe
here.
A milestone birthday. But even so, like I turned 50 last year. I didn't do anything like I didn't throw a big, hey, everybody come to the captain's 50th birthday party. You know, like why? What's the point of that? You know?
Yeah, I'm a dinner and drinks sort of girl.
Yeah. I mean, I went out, had myself a nice pour of some really ancient scotch, you know?
Yeah, that's it. That's all
you know,
need.
Hung out with some couple of people. You know, some friends and, you know, that was it.
I went to work and did the dinner thing.
No.
Late.
Yeah. I'm working on my birthday this year.
I did.
Which
I
is
got
next
a,
Monday, by the way.
I got a couple
of
texts.
Well, like tomorrow or?
No, next.
Oh.
Next to next Monday.
I got a couple of texts, a couple of phone calls, you know, happy birthday, man. And I'm like, hey, thanks. Right. So people who like know me, know my birthday, cared enough to be like reach out and that kind of a thing instead of this automated thing. And
well, it's not automated.
Well,
it's
is largely. It is largely because
no, it's a reminder.
Because then you get these people who are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how many people reached out and said happy or posted on my wall or for my birthday or whatever. And it's like, none of those people would have done so without Facebook prompting them to do so.
I do an independent podcast on Saturdays.
What's it called?
The Anarchist Experience.
Where can people find out about it?
Anarchistexperience.com.
All right.
And I was thinking about the banks, and then we got off topic and started talking about other things. And so after we'd wrapped up recording, I messaged my cohort.
Mm-hmm.
I went, dude, we forgot to talk about the bank, you know, SVB. And he went, it's not that big of a deal. like, really? Because it seems like it's going to be a big deal. He's like, nah, you know, this kind of thing happens.
It kind of remains to be seen.
And so it's not really out of the ordinary.
Because it is the second largest failure,
only to
Washington Mutual in 2008. Remember 2008, the big bank crash and you know, all that crap
and
happened?
And the too big to fail and the government bailouts.
Yeah, so this is very eerily similar to that, or at least as that began to occur.
Okay. But I get that. And then fill me in, because I wasn't paying all that much attention in 2008, because I wasn't in the market to do anything then.
And in fact, I found an article that has sort of a recap and summary of like all that stuff.
Okay.
It's from Axios.com.
That's good, because I think I was in like fourth grade.
Well, but like, what are the long-standing ramifications that we're still experienced today on the 2008 bank bailouts?
Couldn't tell you.
Right?
There are some. Let's see what this article has to say. Given how deeply and widely its roots run across the industry, Silicon Valley Bank dramatically seized on Friday by federal government amid a crippling bank run and swooning stock couldn't have a more apt name. Why it matters. The stunning events of the last 2 days couldn't have unfolded as dramatically as it has without such a deep entrenchment. The venture capital industry is well known for its tight-knit network and propensity to circulate information and opinions at the speed of tweets. Flashback. Conceived by Bill Biggerstaff.
Bill Biggerstaff.
Quite the name.
If I were to ever change my name, I might change it to Biggerstaff. Right?
You know how we got that name, or at least his ancestors did.
conceived by Bill Biggerstaff and Robert Medeiros over a poker game.
So, wait, what? Backup? What? How did this happen?
Conceived by Bill Biggerstaff and Robert Medeiros over a poker game.
What was?
Silicon Valley Bank opened its first office in Santa Clara in 1983, providing banking and credit services to venture-backed startups. So, two guys playing poker. Dude, we should start a bank, man, with like all our poker winnings or whatever. I
should be more patient. I thought I missed something.
Hold your horses, Richie.
Just trying to play the part, you know?
Can't you be more like Nikki?
Aww. Wait,
what's going on? In 1986, SVB merged with National Intercity Bancorp and went public on the NASDAQ in 1988, raising $6 million. By 1992, its real estate loans resulted in a $2.2 million loss after a California market turndown, leading the bank to diversify its portfolio. By 1995, real estate was less than 10% of its loans, compared with nearly 50% previously. It provided early banking services to Valley stalwarts like Cisco Systems. Cisco's huge, by the way, in the tech industry, and Bay Networks. The big picture. Silicon Valley Bank is not just a bank for startups. It has several divisions and business lines all intertwined with the startup world. It not only takes startups cash, but also provides them with venture debt and other loans, and provides banking and loans to venture capital firms. A number of publicly traded tech companies are also customers, like Roblox and Roku. It also is an investor itself into a number of blue chip venture funds, as well as tech and healthcare startups. The Federal Reserve raised interest rates and then also offered a new series of bonds that were of a better value than the bonds that SVB had recently bought as a conservative investment.
Okay.
Making those less attractive. So SVB actually acted in a very conservative manner.
Right.
With its money, buying these bonds and treasuries and that kind of thing. And so the Fed comes in, raises the interest rates, and then offers new treasuries that are a better value than the ones that they just bought.
Okay.
Making their stock. And so the people who were paying attention to this were like, oh, we better get some money out of there. And SVB just didn't have enough cash on hand to facilitate the withdrawals that were happening. And so, quote unquote, bank run.
Okay.
One of the key reasons SVB is so deeply seated within startup land is because of venture debt, its specialty. That's dependent not only on venture financing, but on trusting the assessment of venture capital's backing a certain company. Venture debt emphasizes the borrower's ability to raise additional equity to fund the company's growth and repay the debt, SVB explains in a blog post. So in addition to counting on venture capital's to venture capitalists to back startups that have a shot, though it does its own diligence and credit assessments to be sure. SVB also depends on venture funding Circle of Life to get its money back from its startup clients.
I mean, that's true about any bank that's doing loans.
In short, what they're saying is this particular bank bases its risk upon the life cycle of companies instead of just the risk of starting the company. So
right.
It looks at the long picture. It looks at more of a long-term investment rather than a short-term investment.
But any bank handing out a loan to any company or individual, right, calculates the, you know, opportunity for repayment and whatnot as far as their risk assessment.
Yeah.
Except student loans.
Except most banks won't get in bed with venture capital as much or as deeply as SVB. SVB was their niche was venture capital.
Yeah, right. I'm assuming most banks wouldn't lend to people who have new startup companies.
Well, they wouldn't, but in SVB's case, I'm sure that the repayment interest is a lot higher than a typical bank loan
probably.
As well to cover that risk.
Yeah.
Right, like
probably.
Successful companies pay higher interest to cover the risk of losses on unsuccessful companies.
Right,
yeah,
right. That's how that works.
Right,
now, so you can still get a loan from SVB, but you pay more, mm-hmm. you know, because of their risk assessment.
Now, if the Fed didn't make the moves that they did, SVB would be just fine.
Would they?
We talked in depth about that last night. Because if they didn't raise the interest rates, I think. What is it, 4% or something? No, I
don't know what it is.
Whatever it is, and offer these new treasury bonds like simultaneously in an effort to combat inflation, which they of course caused themselves. Right, SVB would have been just fine. SVB was proceeding on a very conservative manner. Their strategy was very conservative, and they were under the impression that they had all of these things covered.
Okay.
And they didn't. And so, you know.
Is the suggestion that this was purposeful by the Fed then?
I'm not saying
in order to take over
that,
SVB.
I mean, I think the consensus at least last night was unintended consequences.
Okay, like why would the Fed, who has to cover, you know, like they're the lender of last resort, right? Why would they instigate a situation where we're going to have the second biggest bank failure in history?
If you want to insinuate a conspiracy,
I'm actually asking a question.
Well, I mean. Yeah. In my mind, the only reason that I can think of for them to do this on purpose is because they're ready to launch the CBDCs.
Okay.
Right? Because this would be a perfect time. Everybody's scared. Everybody's losing money. Everybody's like, you know, oh, no, bank runs. Right? Everybody's worried about what's going to happen. Right? Worried about, like, the FDIC even said that they only have enough money to, like, deal with, like, one, like, this one bank failure. If another bank goes down, like Tuesday or something, like, the FDIC is like, we really can't handle that. I was surprised that if you just go to Amazon.com and you type in Captain Kickass in the Amazon search bar, my shirts come right up.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
I was like, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
With the Beard Talk Live shirts, you used to be able to type in Beard Talk Live and it would be the second or third result. Something changed at Amazon. Now you have to add the word shirt to Beard Talk Live for it to come up. Beard Talk Live shirt. For it to come
up. At least it's still coming up on the first page.
And for $20, $19.99.
Not bad. I think it's good quality.
It looks great. Yeah.
The actual like screen printing of the logo came out pretty clear.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see in like 5 years if it's still on there, but it feels like it will.
Yeah.
I'm a t-shirt connoisseur,
nice.
And I've worn many different kinds of t-shirts, and this feels like it'll be fine.
I just love that it's now okay to stare at her chest as long as we're talking about the logo on her shirt.
Yeah.
Feel the texture on this one.
Just wait till you get one, Nikki.
I will. I'm going to get the V-neck.
Yep, get the V-neck.
The extended beard edition.
There's the regular like men's style t-shirt, like the Hanes, you know, looking ones. There's long sleeves. You can actually get a hoodie, a pullover hoodie. I haven't released zip hoodies for either the Beard Talk Live or the Captain Kickass logos yet. I got to do some extra work on those because it's going to be something on the back, something on the front, and I got to, you know, figure out how that's going to work.
Yeah, those can be tricky. I don't like it when the zipper kind of cuts
and that's the picture, default. Yeah, you know? they wanted to, and I'm like, no, just don't do that until I can spend some time and do the zip hoodies correctly. So at any rate, you can go get a t-shirt, either Captain Kickass or Beard Talk Live now on Amazon. Just type in either Beard Talk Live shirt or type in Captain Kickass in the Amazon search bar. It'll bring you right there. I'll post links to the Free Talk Live social media at some point.
Get one of the zip up hoodies where you can zip it up over your whole face.
Oh yeah, like, those are fun. Some like devil horns or something on the top, or like kitty ears.
Yeah, you guys are, you know, it costs money to do custom stuff like that.
Yeah,
so then you charge the customer on the back end. Yeah, we're gonna buy them.
You have to sell enough to make it worth your while. You know, yeah. There's
if you have no faith in people buying your merchandise,
at $20, I mean, there's not really much money that's being made there.
Okay. All right.
Particularly since I still need to recoup the design costs for the logos and, you know, the amount of effort that it took to get those. And
got it.
Also get, you know, these things up on Amazon. That took some hoop jumping and bureaucratic stuff to, you know, to make happen. So
yeah. T-shirts are great advertising, though. You know, people walk around, who's Captain Kickass? Well, I'd love to tell you.
And people will ask, they asked this yesterday, like during the breaks and stuff. They're like, why didn't you just have shirts made and then sell them? And it's like, why did you bother even going to Amazon? And I'm like, for several reasons. One, because I wanted my initial investment to be very, very low, right? Smart. And so time was my major investment, right, in getting this done. But also, I wanted to be certain that there was a cryptocurrency option to purchase this. Now, Amazon does not accept crypto directly, but you can go to bitrefill.com and purchase a gift card for the exact total of your Amazon cart. So if you load up your cart and go to checkout, Amazon will give you the total. You can go buy a gift card for that exact total in cryptocurrency and then apply that to your account and then check out. So you can vicariously through an e-gift card buy a Captain Kickass or a Beard Talk Live t-shirt through Amazon using cryptocurrency. Also, you can go to purse.io, and I think you got to buy more than one t-shirt to use Purse. I think they have a $25 minimum or something like that, so you might have to buy two things,
yeah,
right, on your order. But you go to purse.io, start an account if you don't have one already, place the link into their thing, and they do the automatic calculation, and you can get a discount. I think the default is 10%. If you want to wait longer for your order to go through, if you don't mind time, you can move the slider. Like, no, I want 20% off my total order. And eventually somebody will pick up that order for you. And what they're doing is they're using like an Amazon gift card themselves to make a gift purchase for you. And then they receive the cryptocurrency. So that's how Purse.io sort of works. So you can buy stuff on Amazon through either Purse or BitRefill. And there's other companies besides Purse and BitRefill that do these things. Those are just the two that I'm aware of and that I've used. So I wanted to be sure that people who only deal in cryptocurrency or only want to spend cryptocurrency can and buy the products that I'm offering. So that is why I went to all the effort. Also, I don't have to do any fulfillment. Patreon is a panhandling app.
So?
I don't like panhandling.
Okay.
I would
Free Talk Live do Patreon?
Yes.
Well, I also set up Patreon, right? Like, I have a Patreon for the podcast,
but
it doesn't get much, and I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't ask for it. I just, like, at the end of the show, I go, if you want to help, like, there's the Patreon. Yeah. Instead.
I used to have a Patreon, too.
Look, Free Talk Live's product and service is the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas, you know, Captain Kickass, right? I'm just promoting my music and me, you know, in general, right? Maybe a little bit of the Beard Talk Live podcast,
music,
that kind of thing.
Versus show, it's just two different forms of media.
Yeah, but I, as a musician, I've been in bands for a long, long time. I did 22 years in Seattle.
Yeah.
Never once did we all get together and go, okay, let's go panhandle at the corner, you know, try and raise some money so the bass player can buy new strings and a cable. You know, no, that never happened.
Maybe not, but if there was a mechanism to get tipped out at the bar you were playing at, you wouldn't accept the payments?
Oh, we had a tip jar.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Same thing. Just
that feels more like panhandling than the Patreon does.
That feels less like panhandling.
Is it?
Yeah, because you're performing. And if you perform and you kick ass at performing, you put on a good show.
Yeah.
You gave somebody a good time or that they didn't expect, especially if you get a crappy gig.
So you put out a good EP and all people have to do is go drop you a couple bucks on Patreon?
Well, no, I put out the EP. They go and buy it and download it.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the value exchange, right?
Okay.
And, you know, now I got t-shirts, right? So you want to support me, go buy a t-shirt.
Okay.
I don't have a pay. I did actually start one, but I've never released it, and I'm probably never going to. Just but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe somebody will change my mind. I don't know.
Do you have variable pricing on your EP release?
I do.
Okay.
Yes. There will be a minimum, but like there will be a pay what you want option as well. So, and I'm going to have bundles too. So if you don't get a t-shirt now, I'll have bundles where you can buy both the t-shirt and the EP at the same time.
Cool.
And, you know, we'll ship the shirt to you and you can download the EP right away.
So similar idea, right? It's just different outlet. Like I think there's another one called like Buy Me a Coffee or something.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, eh, just like here's a couple bucks.
Yeah.
I like what you do. Here's
I've seen that particularly bucks. Because I partake in what's, you know, downloading of videos.
Sure.
And people who provide that service do so at zero cost, and they'll have something like Buy Me a Coffee or hey, here's a QR for send me some crypto or whatever kind of a thing. And I will do that because I appreciate what they do.
But if you're already getting paid for the music and the t-shirts, it's the same thing. It's a value exchange. This is another way to accept the value for value.
Yeah, I guess. I feel much better about providing something tangible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I get that.
Whereas like Patreon is, you know, it's in the cloud. It's, you know, and then you have to pay attention to it too, right? So there's
not really.
Well,
not really, but it's nice to be like up. You can do like different updates.
I'm kind of an
all
or nothing kind of guy. If I'm going to get a pay, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it better than everybody else, or at least, you know, be in the top 20%, right?
I mean, my podcast gets uploaded to Patreon. It's available to the public, and you can donate if you want to.
Right.
Right, like I don't
care.
Is
that the only place your podcast appears?
No, but it's the only place.
You're on all the other places, though, right? You get it on Apple. You got an RSS feed we could tap into, all that stuff, right?
Yeah, but if you want to support it financially, right, you can do so through Patreon, and I don't care if you do, and I don't care if you don't,
right?
But that's where I accept money.
Okay,
right, but there's no private feed. You don't have to donate to get bonus content. There's no value exchange. Right. Just like. It's the easiest place to set up where if you would like to help out, you know, offset costs.
If I were to do a Patreon, I would certainly work it. You know what I mean? There's like I have subscribed to a few different artists. One of my favorites is the guitar player for Hell's Bells. Her name is Adrienne Connor.
Okay.
She's not paid me to say this. It just came up off the top of my head. She is the Angus Young of the all-female AC/DC cover band.
I was
Hell's
wondering
Bells.
If that's what it was.
Okay.
And so she has a solo project. It's, I think, the Adrienne Connor solo project, I think is what it's called, or just Adrienne. So I subscribed to her Patreon for several years, and she was on top of it. I mean, just like, hey, I just came up with this new riff, and like, you know, and then the next day, like, I'm thinking about doing this for a t-shirt design, and then the next day, oh, I was in conversation, you know, she was putting up content every day, working it, and she was making money.
That might be why it feels less like panhandling to me, because I don't work it at all. It's just there if you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, for people who have a big following, I mean, it's good. People will pay for that content. They want to know what this chick's saying. They want to know, like, this is where you're going to hear it first. You know, she's not posting that stuff on Facebook, probably. This is, you know, her form of sneak peeks.
Yeah.
And if people are real fans, they will absolutely pay for that.
This is a Twitter from Watcher.Guru.
Tweet, tweet.
Just in, Ripple's CEO confirms the company has an undisclosed amount of cash in Silicon Valley Bank.
Dun, dun, dun.
So who knows what that means for Ripple. The fact that they're not disclosing the amount probably means it's more than $250,000.
That's what it sounds like.
Right? Because, like, why would you make that announcement, right? If you're like, yeah, we had 50 grand in that bank, like, well, nobody would care.
Exactly.
They even wouldn't care.
Props on full disclosure, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they could have tried to hide it.
Yeah.
Dealt with it later when people got outraged. Why didn't you tell us?
Well, I don't know if either of you listened to last night's shows, but not only did USDT, but a whole bunch of other stable coins, they depegged, so they were worth, you know, downwards as little as 85 cents.
So much for stable coin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very stable.
Yeah, so there's some concerns there as well, because stable coins have been sort of the bridge, right? The way that traders make their bread, so to speak, make their profit. So if you're on an exchange, you move cryptocurrency X. Once it reaches a certain level, you move that into stablecoin. And then when cryptocurrency Y drops below that level, you move all your stablecoin into that. And then when it comes back up, you move it back into the stablecoin.
Captain, but why is that necessary?
Why is it necessary?
Because if you pull it out into dollars, they tax you. And right. So if you wanted right. to just avoid that, you could right. also just like not pay taxes.
Right.
And then you would be moving it into dollars and back yeah. into crypto.
Right.
And not give a darn what the IRS has to say about
it. I'm sure some people just don't want to deal in dollars, period.
Well, and
it's functionally the same if you're dealing with stable coins that are pegged to the dollar.
But some people are so principled that, or they think they are at least.
Hardly a principle.
Yeah, they think they are, yeah. but I know.
Hardly a principle.
And then this also from The Guardian, Janet Yellen.
Who?
Yellen.
Oh.
She's not speaking quietly. She's Yellen. She rejects Silicon Valley Bank bailout as regulators auction assets. U.S. Treasury Secretary says Biden administration is working closely with regulators to help depositors as fears of banking crisis rise.
As it should.
The U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said on Sunday there would be no bailout for Silicon Valley Bank, which collapsed this week, raising fears of a crisis, but also said the Biden administration was working blah, 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 blah.
So again, there won't be a government bailout, right? But if they let J.P. Morgan absorb it, J.P. Morgan is not going to fail.
Right.
Because they will get the bailout.
Right.
Right.
And also they'll buy arguably one of the most important banks. And this is my opinion because their niche is the startup, tech startup specifically, tech healthcare, right? That's where all of the innovation is happening right now, right?
Okay.
J.P. Morgan Chase is about to buy for pennies on the dollar.
Maybe pennies.
Right? All of these accounts and all of their assets.
Okay.
So to them, that's a great situation to be in. If I'm J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, I'm like, woohoo! Salivating? Yeah! You know? So we'll see what happens. From Forbes, did you bring this one in?
I don't know. What's the headline?
The Fed is rewiring the U.S. payment system.
Not me.
That would be me.
Here's what that means for you. It can take days to transfer money or make payments from your bank account, even as apps like Venmo, Cash App, and Zelle make such transactions nearly instant. That's because the federal government has no digital payment system for the entire banking system to utilize in real time. But that is about to change. The Federal Reserve plans to launch its own real-time payment system called the FedNow service, also known as FedNow.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, I hate it.
Yeah. Fed now. How about Fed never?
Feed me more.
This summer, apparently. Fed a little later, apparently. Yeah. Fed this summer. Though Fed now is years behind tech-based private sector competitors, it will be a game changer for transactions in the U.S. It will be the first and only digital instant payment system that is both created and backed by the government. Doesn't cryptocurrency already solve this?
Well, yeah, but they're not backed by the government.
So we're talking about this breaking news. New York-based Signature Bank has been taken over by the FDIC?
Voluntarily liquidated at the behest of the Federal Reserve and FDIC.
I wonder what the actual statement says. Superintendent Adrian A. Harris announces New York Department of Financial Services takes possession. A Signature Bank.
Doesn't sound voluntary.
Can they call a priest and like have it exercised, right? You know? Possession.
Call a reverend.
Huh. Where would one find one? Particularly
Dr. Reverend.
Particularly late on a Sunday. If only there was a number that you could call and get one real quick. Superintendent Adrian A. Harris announced today that the New York Department of Financial Services has taken possession of Signature Bank pursuant to Section 606 of New York Banking Law. In order to protect depositors, DFS appointed the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation as a receiver of the bank. Signature Bank is a New York State chartered commercial bank and is FDIC insured with a total assets of approximately $110.36 billion.
Wow.
And total deposits of approximately $88.59 billion as of December 31st, 2022. DFS is in close contact with all regulated entities in light of market events, monitoring market trends, and collaborating closely with other state and federal regulators to protect consumers.
From what?
From themselves, if they
should make a run on the bank.
Yeah, from... Yeah.
I guess so.
I bring this up every time we talk about a bank run. There's an old book, and it's available, I think, for free on the Mises site.
Okay.
By Garrett Garrett. Yes, Garrett, and then Garrett again. And it's called Harangue. And one of the themes throughout the book, right, is in the book, the banks prevent the bank run because everyone is in debt, right? Like, if you owe the bank money, you can't run on them because what are you going to do? Like, go put all your money back in and pay them what you owe them?
Right.
So it seems a debt-based society, which is basically what we have now, right, is structured in such a way, probably purposefully, to prevent these things from occurring more regularly.
Right. I like it.
Right. Like a bank run and a bank failure in a free market system is not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. Yeah.
Right. That's your risk as a consumer when you're shopping around who you're going to be depositing with.
Right.
Is, you know, what is their risk assessment look like?
And right.
What your aversion to their risk and your risk tolerance is.
Right.
Right. And if it happens to be where there's a run, you know, or failure, right, then less people are out less. Because it's spread out across more smaller banks.
Yeah. One of the things that I didn't like about the 2008 banking situation was, you know, the bailouts, of course, right? Like, if...
Too big to fail.
No, nothing is ever too big to fail. They're too stupid to succeed. It's really what happened there, right? They made incredibly risky decisions, and they got bit in the ass by it. And they should fail. Like, if you go to Vegas and you got $5,000 in your pocket and you're getting down to like your last grand, you got a decision to make.
Yeah.
You know, do I cut my losses and go, or do I risk this last $1,000?
Double down.
And, right? Yeah. You know? And if you double down and lose, well, guess what? Yep. You deserve to be broke. It's Major Payne, everybody.
Oh, okay.
Say hello.
Butter.
Classic.
Classic Major.
All right. So I got a question, and then I got three fun facts for you. And the first one has to do with Hitler. You guys are going to like these. Oh, so anyway,
excellent
my
painter.
Question is, as far as all this banking BS,
yep.
Whatever happened to the old savings and loan? Where your money stayed in the neighborhood and was lent to your neighbors to make a vegetable stand or whatever.
Yep, not
Call
anymore.
Call out a credit union.
I mean, it seems to me that the niche...
That's what I thought. It might have got absorbed by the credit union. That was my original thought, but
well, it seems to me the SVB is, because they had a niche, their niche was tech startups, right? That was kind of the equivalent of that, except within the tech community, at least...
And on a larger
in
scale.
In Silicon Valley. They diversified and went, you know, got into other business, which is, in my opinion, the right thing to do. You want to stay diversified so that you have less risk. So
well, yeah, but you don't want to put any too big a percentage, especially in a risky basket, and we all know crypto is under attack right now.
We do.
Which is why it shouldn't be tied to the legacy banking system.
Right.
True enough, but it's hard to get anybody to accept a drachma or, you know, some other ancient gold coin or
just want to say
silver.
That loud enough for the people in the back.
I've gone to restaurants before and tried to pay waiters and, you know, even call the manager over and tried to get him to accept, you know, big 33-gram 1 ounce silver rounds
for
the bill. And they're like, I don't know what to do with this.
When I was a waitress, I used to cover the bill for customers. If they wanted to pay in crypto, I would cover the bill, use my own cash to pay the bill, and take their crypto for the whole thing.
Right. Yeah.
I made a lot of money doing that, more than I did accepting USD, can tell you that much.
I think the other good way to circulate that, if that's your goal, is to do it in the tip in addition to the Federal Reserve tip.
Right.
Yeah, because then it doesn't leave a bad taste. They don't feel like they got screwed over if they don't know what crypto is or don't want it.
Right.
All right,
I'm going to go old school on you. This one happened in World War II. When Hitler was starting to get spun out and all of his generals were doubting him and whatnot, there was an organization, I think it was called the OSS. It's part of the internal, you know, German hierarchy in the military.
Okay.
And they came up with this plan that they would inject Hitler's vegetables with female hormones. And the thought was that it would make his mustache fall out and his voice get high and squeaky and he'd grow boobs. So he would
turn the Nazis gay.
The man amongst men, you know. But evidently,
trans Hitler
fell out of favor somewhere along the line. And
Adolfina?
It wasn't pursued to its full potential, so we don't know what would have happened.
Maybe not in Hitler's case.
I got to thinking about crypto being under attack, and Catholicism has been under attack as long as it's been alive. I mean, they've been attacking people.
Yeah. Crypto.
Hey, we don't talk about the Crusades.
Yeah, I was going to say, crypto has never had like a Crusades era. Right? Crypto has never attacked anybody that I'm aware of. This from mirror.co.uk or Mirror Kook.
The Brits are at it again.
Yeah, and let's just call them regular Brits. How come the British refer to themselves as British and not Great British?
Because they know.
Because Great Britain encompasses more than just England.
Oh, so it's like Greater Britain.
Right.
No.
Is that what it means?
No.
Well, no, it's great, though, because it's the greater area. Like, oh, right. This is the greater Boston area.
Have you been there?
It's
not really that great.
No, why would I go there?
I haven't been there.
It's not great.
Well, they claim it's great, but, you know.
Yeah, like, but we all know their judgment's a little off.
It's just sort of mediocre,
like,
Britain.
You can use your magic rectangle, right? But there's England.
Yeah.
Right? There's Great Britain, and then there's United Kingdom, and it's different on the Venn diagram there.
I will say, they do love baked beans.
Really?
They love baked
beans
there. On toast, on anything. They're a little... yeah.
I don't want to mislead...
What do they really like it on, though?
I don't...
What do you like it on?
Good segue. I don't want to mislead people. I actually don't really like baked beans at all.
Oh, you're missing out.
No, really? I'm not. Yeah. Like the worst possible two side dishes I could ever be served, you know, at any meal would be sauerkraut and baked beans.
But what if it was somewhere
and
else?
And mushrooms. I hate mushrooms.
Oh, I had mushrooms with my
I'm allergic to mushrooms.
Okay.
So,
like my mom's baked bean recipe is something that I fiend for. Like every Thanksgiving, like that has to be part of my Thanksgiving feast.
Okay.
Because it's special. So I really only eat it and make it like once a year.
Okay.
But it's delicious.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't like the taste.
Maybe you just don't like the receptacle that it's in.
The bowl.
Or the slime that comes. Like if you're like, you know, bushes from a can. Right?
It does.
Yeah,
maybe.
But maybe if the baked beans were somewhere else.
Let's find out.
You'd like them more.
See if this article changes my mind.
I doubt it.
Perhaps
you
I'll like
pay for it.
Perhaps I'll like baked beans more. Now, I haven't read this article, have you?
No.
Okay, have you?
I have, yes.
Okay, all right.
I like being surprised.
So there's a picture of, you know, some thought. Elle Woods is her name.
Nice.
Makes a fortune by talking to men and fulfilling their desires.
I bet that's a fake name.
It's the chick from Legally Blonde.
Elle Wood.
That's what I'm saying.
Elle Wood, that's one of the Blues Brothers. Jake
it's
and
also
Elle.
One of the Blues Brothers.
Oh.
But this is ELLE space Woods.
Yeah, I think that's the
like
chick's
the
name from Legally Blonde.
It is, yeah.
Oh, okay. So the headline here reads...
Part 2?
Yeah.
Lingerie model gets filthy rich telling filthy men rich. To pour baked beans on their body.
Oh, man.
So far, my mind isn't changed.
I really, female privilege is a thing, and it's stuff like this that makes me wish I had some female privilege.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't.
If I could make, well.
But Elle would.
Add it again.
The ease of which some of these chicks make money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just
selling
like,
their farts in a jar.
Yeah.
Dirty underwear, dirty socks. Come on, man. Sometimes I'm like, should I
and
do
like,
it?
You should.
And like,
you know, it's like, why not capitalize?
You are in a unique opportunity and position to do this, you know? And make bank on it. Why would you pass for dignity?
Like,
no. You just go to the bank and like wash yourself in millions of dignity dollars.
GILFs are raking it in as well. I've seen recent articles about
GILFs?
You know, the hot grandmother.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
You know, kind
Lauren
of
Bowen,
stuff.
Man.
And, yeah, like I'm like, wow,
36-year-old grandma. I'll take it.
No, we're talking like. Elderly.
No, yeah, no,
people
I'm
are
not.
Into
I'm
it.
Talking about Lauren Bowen. Yeah, but she's still a GILF.
The OnlyFans star recently appeared on ITV2, whatever that is, to share her experience as a cam girl. Quote, I have this guy who calls me and I will say to him, So what have we got this week? And it will either be custard, baked beans, she said.
A bigger staff.
Well, sorry, all right, so just guys, a little bit of criticism on this particular broad. She's obviously had the plastic surgery done to the lips.
Yeah, that's pretty common nowadays.
Super, super ducky. Speaking of ducks.
Yeah, quack.
Yeah.
She's got, Aflac.
She's got a little Aflac going on for sure. They're known as DSLs.
Yeah. Use your imagination on what that means.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think you know, but we'll make sure
you know. No, I got it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. He'll stand in the kitchen in his wellies for about a half hour, and I will just tell him, you need to get a spoon of these beans and pour them all over. Stuff your belly button. I ask him, how many have you got in there? And he'll say, three. And I'll say, no, I want four. After every call.
Like, how hilarious must this be? You know what I mean? Like, she probably thinks it's so funny.
I can't even imagine.
Put four.
Like, what do the chicks from the 900 call numbers really do in the background?
Right.
They're just on a headset, you know, playing solitaire or whatever.
Well, yeah, if they're attractive, they're on OnlyFans raking it in. But if they're unattractive, they're on the 900 numbers.
Okay. Is that how it works?
Well, not anymore. I don't even know if those exist anymore, do they?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Why would you call the number if you can get a cam girl? You know what I mean?
Same reason I no longer order DVDs from shady websites.
No more brown paper deliveries in the old mailbox.
Not for this guy.
I had something show up in my mailbox, and I had, you know, several days. I was in an apartment complex or whatever, and it had the thing. And it was like a special edition, like Revolver magazine with like a anniversary issue for like Anthrax or something and that kind of a thing. And for whatever reason, they sent it in the black plastic wrapper. And so I'm getting my mail out of the mailbox. Neighbors there. Black plastic wrapper, huh?
You know, like, what's in there, Playboy? You know,
a little elbow kind of thing. Yeah.
Like, anyway, no, this is way cooler.
It's Revolver magazine, bro.
which sounds like a lie.
Totally.
To the neighbor.
Yeah, absolutely. Prove it.
So the article continues, after every call...
The disappointment is when he steals the next issue.
it's really just a music magazine.
And he's got to stuff it back in your box half open. My God.
Yeah.
This is just embarrassing
now. Opened by mistake. Sorry. Right? Yeah. They accidentally put this in my box. I don't know what happened. I
thought it was my nudie magazine day.
Yeah, Jugs only ships on the first Thursday of every month.
Did not know that. Thank you.
Now you do.
In case you needed to know. Anyway, this... chick is talking about her experience with this dude and pouring stuff.
Baked beans. Pouring baked beans.
She says,
or custard, depending on the day. What's available, you know, supply and demand.
Yeah, I mean, you know, money's getting tight, so like these food products are probably going to have to change a little bit, right?
They won't store-bought baked beans?
No, they just have to go to like the, instead of baked beans in the can, or they'll have to go to like the dry kidney beans in the package.
Ooh.
You know, yeah.
Boil them first.
She continues to say She continues to say after every call, he'll be like,
smash it into your belly button.
He'll be like, thank you so much. I really appreciate that you let me do this with you, but I love it.
Oh, it's like a nice, wholesome bonding experience for them.
No, it's a lonely dude. It's a lonely dude.
L usually favors the night shift when she can make the most money.
Yeah.
I mean,
do they have a differential on OnlyFans?
Yeah, they get like an extra $2 an hour or something for the graveyard? Or
I mean, when are guys going to be more likely to be like home alone and randy?
And sauced up and, you know, that kind of stuff. And like, you know.
Get sauced up pre-shower. Right.
Well, tell us more, Richie. I mean, Nikki.
No, what I'm saying is if you catch them in that window, like just got home from work, tired, you know, lonely. You know, randy, horny, right? And then you can get him to like pour beans on him before he jumps into the shower and handles business himself.
Yeah, it's the perfect window.
It's the perfect window.
That's like the old telemarketer adage, right? You want to get them at home when they're fat and sassy. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes.
Why did we take down her certificate?
Out of breath there. It's still around. Yeah.
I know it's around.
Oh, I was laying down. So I
dodging cars?
Got up a little bit.
Playing some Frogger?
I mean, no.
Do you know why you were calling?
Room. Yeah, you know, I wrote it down. You know them. I was thinking about, you know, all of them. You know, with the diseases that people have. So they have all these medications, right?
Everybody's on drugs.
That you see advertised. Yeah, all
if it's COVID, Paxlovid.
Well, just everything that they got medication, but the side effects are just that they mentioned, the possible side effects are just so horrible.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes they're worse
spontaneous
than the actual
orifice bleeding, yeah. Growth of a third eye. Right.
Yeah. No, sometimes they're worse than the actual disease.
Oh, yeah.
They seem to be.
Whenever it says, and could result in death.
Yeah.
Usually.
Side effects include spontaneous death.
Yeah, but I mean that's my whole the comical thing about it. But why don't you just die from whatever you're sick from, whatever you're suffering? The suffering with like a kidney or kidney damage or liver failure or something like that. That's the consequences, or wind up with cancer. I mean, that's horrible.
You're correct. It is horrible.
I mean, the best prevention is the best medication,
yes, it is.
Right?
Oh. Best prevention is the best
medication.
I guess so, yeah.
But,
something
the
like
thing
that.
Is that. But the natural remedy that I always talk about, everybody's like, what remedy for diabetes? So
don't get diabetes in the first place.
The remedy
that's
for diabetes.
Is prevention is key.
Yeah, cut out sugar. But Sarah, how many drugs do you take per day?
You know what? I do not take any drugs, but I do take supplements. Like St. John's Wort is for my depression and my mood.
Okay, all right.
And I take about like 10 different kind of supplements to get energy and to feel better.
Have you tried CBD at all?
No, I hear a lot about it. I do. I mean, I went to a shop and he was showing me like molecular structures of all these CBD products and chemical compounds and everything. I'm like, whoa, it's like, hey, that's a little bit over my head.
Well, yeah, but I mean, did you try it? Because like CBD is one of the most natural things that you could do. It's just an extract from a cannabis plant. So, but it doesn't get you high like marijuana. What it does is it alleviates pain and it also serves as a relaxant. So lots of folks who have some of these things that you say that you have benefited greatly from CBD.
Well, that's what I hear. And then also the point that I was going to make yesterday, every time I try to talk about this, Ian keeps talks over me and hangs up on me and stuff like that. And so,
how dare he?
Well, thanks for the call, Sarah. Tonight. We appreciate you.
Aww.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay, so the whole point of my hypothesis is, we have a nurse on the line with me, is that the natural products that help with circulation or cardiovascular, what I was getting to, that my guess is that it also helps with healthy blood sugar control levels. Is that what they call it? Like healthy blood levels. In other words, it helps diabetics.
What product are you talking about? Are you talking like turmeric?
Well, okay, blood are things that what I found out was like the grape seed extract. They actually help promote circulation.
Okay.
Ginseng help promote circulation.
Okay.
And then red, like a dry powdered red wine helps circulation. So is the beet juice. So one of the qualities of the grape seed extract was that it's supposed to help you, let you have healthy blood sugar levels, which means that it cures diabetes. Because they cannot, they
well,
claim
you also can't
that they're going
to say
this will. You can't say this will cure cancer. This natural product will cure diabetes.
It depends what kind of diabetes too, because the type 1, your pancreas just doesn't work. Type 2, you can absolutely cure type 2 diabetes with diet and exercise.
Jet, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, I'd like to abuse you for a little bit here too.
Is this an abusement park?
Oh man. Yeah. More market opportunities.
I've paid my
dominatrixes.
We're trying to do a show and all these callers keep abusing us, Jet. What's going on?
Who would be in the cage in an abusement park? Would it be the dominatrix or would it be the customers?
Is the modulation good enough for me right now?
Yes, I believe you are modulating.
I guess we're just going to gloss over the question.
I just want to make sure, because it's like whenever I talk to Ian, he says, back off the phone, back off.
Yeah, I mean, you seem to be okay. There's a little bit of static, but nothing I'm worried about. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, last night I told a story about the next door neighbor who used to be an accountant for a manufacturing company, but now works as an auditor for the IRS's.
Yes. Nice.
Yes. And of course, demanding that I bring in front of him all my documentation supporting earnings and expenditures. Well, I tried to get a discussion going about how this magic works, where just other regular Joe next door can instantly be converted from an everyday accountant, as an example,
yep,
into an overlord who gets to demand my obedience and my money.
Because the average individual is not willing to stand up and defend themselves against such aggression.
Well, let me kind of lay this out for you before I get too many comments. I'm thinking about how a fellow human could be put into a uniform or a robe or a costume or a dress and magically become imbued with imagined authority and wisdom for just an eight-hour shift, and then return back to their normal existence.
Because the victim is not willing to stand up and defend themselves against that form of aggression.
Well, this is not.
I'm going to be victim blaming a lot if that's the question.
No, it's.
The magic happens because people accept it and aren't willing to defend themselves against it. That's how the magic happens.
Well, that's the part where I want to shift from the individual's perception into the actual magic.
Good luck.
In other words, I'm not referring to the delusion or the indoctrination or the brainwashing of other people or their feelings about it. I'm referring to the sorcery that occurs when these just other people walk through the doors of public buildings, the transformation process. In other words, there's some kind of magic that goes on, and it's not necessarily, I'm not talking about in my mind or other people's minds. I'm talking about in the process of them.
Doesn't happen in the process. Happens in the mind of the victim.
Plane to the other.
It happens in the mind of the victim.
Search.
People accept it. Right, they put up these big structures, cathedrals.
But I don't think so.
To the state.
What do you think happens, Jet?
The magic that occurs is this is what I'm talking about. This is what I want to discover, because it doesn't have to do with other people and their perception. It has to do with some transformation that occurs that then makes them appear or be viewed as somebody special.
Have you ever seen a real magic show? Like seen a magician work, sleight of hand, all that illusionary stuff?
Oh yeah.
The only reason that's entertaining. Right? The only reason that's entertaining is because you, the audience member, have to suspend your disbelief and buy into the fact that real magic is happening.
Because
mm-hmm. if you knew how it worked, it ceases to be magic. Right? That's the only way to enjoy the magic show, is to suspend your disbelief. So when they walk into the building or put on the uniform, right, you have to suspend your disbelief that there's just another a-hole that lives next door to you, right, and believe that they have some authority over you. And unfortunately for individualists and anarchists and libertarians, right, the vast majority of people buy into that paradigm and prefer the magic show than to the truth behind it.
And you don't.
I know.
Don't, and you
so
don't.
If you don't want to be taken advantage, right, by this IRS agent next door, right, fundamentally, you have to defend yourself against that sort of aggression.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.